Today on Real Radio.
What is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. That's why a Christian who does not read the Old Testament really rips himself off, because you will never appreciate the fulfillment of God's promises found there in the New Testament without knowing the roadmap and how it leads you to those fulfillments.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called God's Great Commission, begins a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ like no other prophet, and also what will happen in the last days. Isaiah's ministry began right about 740 BC and ended at 680 BC. Isaiah's name means "The Lord is my salvation." The book of Isaiah has 66 chapters that are broken up into two sections. The first 39 chapters are on sin, judgment, and the future, and the final 27 chapters are on restoration, forgiveness, and the future. Israel was in the north and Judah was in the south. The nation as a whole had departed from God while being surrounded by hostile nations. The Assyrian Empire was on the rise, Persia was threatening, Babylon was stirring, while Egypt was preparing for war. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that there was no greater commission than to be a prophet of God. They spoke what God had given them to speak, no matter the outcome. And most often, like Isaiah, they were rejected, persecuted, and then martyred for the message that they delivered. And now, in his lesson called God's Great Commission, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Tonight, we start verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Yes, it is. Study through the book of Isaiah tonight. We'll do the introduction tonight. But you say, well, wait a minute. I've done the math, Jack. You've done like 13 chapters in 2 years of epistles and gospels. And so Isaiah is the longest prophetic book in the Bible, in the Old Testament. 66 chapters. We'll all die of old age by the time I get done with that book. But here's what we're going to do. I know, listen, you got to hear me out, because you're going to think I'm lying to you by the way tonight's going to go. Tonight's going to go almost 99% introduction to the book, okay? Because we have to. It's a huge book. It's an amazing book. And then really starting next Wednesday as we start, we're going to cover sometimes three chapters a night, sometimes one, sometimes six. It is going to be a different approach, more of a, I don't want to say flyover, because that sounds kind of cheap, right? Because Isaiah is incredibly deep. But there are places where we're going to land or we're going to hover for a while and then move on to the next punchline in the great ministry of the prophet Isaiah. So tonight you see by the banner we have, God is our salvation. And that is the very theme of the book, and that is the actual meaning of Isaiah's name. Very, very interesting. So tonight, if you're taking notes in our introduction, write this down if you would, in the first step of our overview of the 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah. We're looking at God's Great Commission. Will you write that down? Because it does apply to you and I. God's Great Commission, discovering the salvation of the Lord through the grace of God. Isaiah's prophecy is a prophecy unlike any other book of the Bible. And I want you to get this down in your note-taking. This is going to be fun. Why? Isaiah, number one, is known as the evangelical prophet. Why is that? Because Isaiah speaks more about the Messiah and salvation than all other Old Testament books combined. He is one who delivers to us incredible themes of the Bible. You guys, in the next hour that we have together right now tonight, and in the following weeks, you're going to hear verses that you, if I were to ask you, where would this verse be in the Bible? You would probably say, Book of Romans. You might say Matthew. You might say Revelation. And you know you'd be wrong. There are verses so prominent in our New Testament theology and our way of thinking as Christians that you're going to be quite surprised to find out that though you thought it was in the book of Revelation or you thought it was maybe in Matthew, it was actually from the book of Isaiah and or it originated with the book of Isaiah and it reappears in these New Testament books. That's how important the book of Isaiah is to the formation of the doctrines found in the New Testament. And you guys all know this, right? That what is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New. That's why a Christian who does not read the Old Testament really rips himself off, because you will never appreciate the fulfillment of God's promises found there in the New Testament without knowing the roadmap and how it leads you to those fulfillments. So when we talk about God's Great Commission, we're talking about the life and the ministry of the prophet Isaiah. So turn in your Bibles to chapter 1, and we'll look at verse 1 and the background. There the Bible says, "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah." So stop right there right now. In the days of these kings, Isaiah's ministry, we know, places him now in the time period between 740 BC and 680 BC. And you say, well, did you get those numbers right? Yeah, listen, those of you who are new, remember in the Old Testament and in the BC era, you count from the high number down to the low number. I love this. You count from the high number to the low number, and the low number, the closer you get to the low number, then you get to zero, and then you start counting up until you get to, I forget what the Hebrew calendar is. We just had the new year, the Jewish new year, but it's something like 5,700 and something. Yeah. And in the Greek or the Gregorian calendar, you and I are in the year 2014. Isn't it interesting? You say, well, why is there a difference? Well, listen, most of the world recognizes that Jesus Christ is the pinnacle of humanity. And by the way, anywhere in the world, even in Israel, if you're going to do business in Israel and if you're going to sign a contract, you don't sign it, you know, on October 18th or whatever it is, 5,700 and whatever the year is, according to the Jewish calendar. If you're going to sign a legal document, you sign it in the year 2014. This year that we're in. Why? Every time you write a check or every time you see your phone display the date, it is a testimony, it's a reminder about the imminence of Jesus Christ. Amen. All around the world. Keep that in mind. So Isaiah, he's ministering in this time period that is racing to that culminating point of the coming of the Messiah. Now look, by way of background, it's important that we know this. Here the Bible tells us that in the days of Uzziah, Uzziah was a great king, by the way. He was a good man. We're going to read more and more about him. Uzziah was, remember in Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord." He was a good guy, but he got a little ahead of himself, and he did something that got him in a lot of trouble. Uzziah was not permitted, as no king of Israel, or for that matter, any non-priest person ordained by God, is not to tamper with the things of the temple. And Uzziah went in and did priestly activities. And God struck him, though he was a good guy, he loved the Lord, God struck him with leprosy. And so much of his reign in Israel, Judah specifically in the south, was done while he was a leper. So he was very much sequestered. And yet he was greatly loved. History tells us that his name was on the lips of all the people. He was such a beloved king. I think he reigned about 50 or 51 years. Huge reign. That's a tremendous. Can you imagine having a president for 50? Well, not this president, but a president for 50 or 51 years, a good president. You know, I think of President Garfield. Anybody know about him? I didn't know anything about Garfield until I had a night. I was in, I forget, somewhere in New Jersey. Ocean, is there an Ocean City or something like that? Pacific Ocean Grove, something like that. Anyway, I was teaching 5,000 people in this tremendous building. And later I found out, one of the pastors said, isn't it awesome to be able to preach where the president preached? I said, what are you talking about? And he said, President Garfield, as president, preached in this location. People accepted the Lord and he baptized them. That's amazing kind of a president to have. But imagine having a leader. For many in Judah, which was, and we'll talk about this more in a moment, Judah was the southern kingdom. Israel at this time is divided into two. There's the kingdom of the north, which is the kingdom of Israel, and the kingdom in the south is the kingdom of Judah. After Solomon's death, the kingdom was divided. And so Isaiah is ministering predominantly, not exclusively, in the south. Look at your Bible. It says that there was Jotham. Jotham was a co-regent in that he co-reigned with Uzziah in the last year or so of Uzziah's life. Look at the name, the king Ahaz. He was a wicked pagan king. He led the nation away from God into paganism, false worship. You've read many times in your Bible that the asterisks in the temples of Baal were erected. Ahaz was a bad guy. You know, this is a good thing to remember. Now, these were kings, obviously, but they were political rulers. They presided over. Israel at this time is not a theocracy. They have kings. It just goes to show you the power of one person's life can affect an entire nation. Let's not forget that, everybody. Up until recent years, we used to think that either voting or getting involved didn't matter. Nothing changes. Everything's the same. We can't say that anymore, can we? One life makes a huge difference. And so, in a way, that's a very, very good thing. Here's a guy, Ahaz, who gets into power, and he begins to take the eyes of the people away from the Lord onto a plethora of religious practices. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you're sincere in doing it. It does matter. It really does matter. And he introduced all of these ancient Babylonian practices. And listen, God doesn't take that lightly. Then look right here in verse 1, it says that Hezekiah came into power. And he was a good king as well. He was a very close friend of Isaiah, which is interesting. He was a reformer, and he called the people, the king called the people back to the word of God, Hezekiah did. But Isaiah was a good friend of his. Isaiah loved Uzziah and Hezekiah. We know that Isaiah had tremendous opportunities to brush shoulders with royalty. Isaiah is probably known as the affluent prophet. He was in the upper echelon of the social structure. He knew the power, most powerful people in the nation. So that means he had some sort of parentage. It says right here that he's the son of Amos. Don't think of Amos like the prophet. This is Amos's father. We don't know much about him, other than we know that from some verses of scripture and from antiquity that Isaiah was a cousin to Uzziah. So there's a relationship there. And that's pretty interesting. The place in the ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament as a prophet is a very interesting thing. Church, listen, if you are an Old Testament prophet, you are at the top of the food chain, so to speak. Here's the reason why. Prophets, biblical prophets in the Old Testament period, without announcement, this is kind of cool, without announcement, without an appointment, could walk into the presence of a king and tell him, thus saith the Lord. Boom. It didn't matter who the king was. Even David himself. The prophet of God would walk in and say, oh, by the way, David, yes, how can I help you? It's wrong for you to be sleeping with Bathsheba. Boom! Prophet. They're called by God, they're empowered by God, and they speak into the life of the powers that be and into the culture. Man, doesn't America need a prophet today? By the way, we are about to lose, in some respect, a man who had the powers, as it were, of a modern-day prophet in the person of Billy Graham. Did you know Billy Graham could show up at the White House without an appointment and be escorted in because he was known around the world, because he was a man of influence? I don't know the motive of why a president would let him in. Maybe it was just for votes or to say, I met with Billy Graham. But when you look at Billy Graham's life, I'm not saying that he's a biblical prophet per se in the sense of the Old Testament prophet. I'm just saying that he was respected by leaders where he didn't have to have an appointment. That's influence. That's a powerful thing. But there is no greater commissioning in the Old Testament scriptures than that of a prophet. Again, kings bowed to prophets. They were greater than governments. God's prophets on earth were the powerhouse because they came from the throne room of God, as it were, and spoke into the lives of the people. And by their very word or actions, changed the course of a country or of the people. Then they spoke, you guys, without pulling any punches. God told them what to speak. Can you imagine God speaking to you so clear that they went and they delivered the message, and these men were called, and there's even Old Testament prophetess. By the way, we're going to learn here in the book of Isaiah that he was married to a prophetess. That's kind of... It says that his wife was a prophetess as well. That's kind of Mr. and Mrs. Prophet. But the place of the prophet is amazing. And listen to what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you together, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, your house has left you desolate, for I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus says concerning Jerusalem and the nation of Israel in total, that's Judah and Israel, of course, you stone the prophets that God sends to you. Why do I bring this up? Because prophets were most often mocked. They're rejected. They're persecuted. They're often martyred. Listen, if you can't shut God up, you'll shut the prophet up. And Jesus attests to this fact that if you don't like what God is saying, you kill the prophets. And listen, I want to bring you in on this, you and I in on this. Doesn't the scripture tell us that in these last days, those of us who are Christians, we are like prophets and priests and kings, as it were, the scripture says. In other words, we represent another kingdom from heaven. But didn't he tell us that we are all to go out into all the world and preach this gospel? That makes us, in a sense, prophets, not foretelling, but forthtelling the truth of God. And didn't Jesus tell us that if we go and forthtell the gospel, we're going to be hated by people? It is incumbent upon the Christian to speak out to a dying culture. As it were, each of us prophets to our jobs, prophets to our homes, prophets to the community, that wherever we go, God would use you to say to someone the truth. This flies in the face of our, and I mean this well, I don't mean this in a rude way, this flies in the face of our modern day polite Christianity. Now, please don't take that wrong. I do not believe Christians should be obnoxious, ugly, or rude. I don't think they should be loud and obnoxious. I do not. But when I say polite, we think it's polite if we don't cause someone to feel uncomfortable about mentioning the name Jesus. Have you noticed that? First of all, let's just all get over it right now. The name Jesus drives people nuts. Yes. It just drives people crazy. Why? Because what are you going to do with that? Oh, I just love Jesus. People go, What are they thinking? Maybe I should love Jesus too. But wait, I don't know. That's such a controversial name. It just his name causes people to just kind of seize up. I find that very, very attractive. Because it shows you that what we are dealing with in our lives is spiritual realities. It's amazing. And so, the ministry of the prophets in the Bible, it's interesting, note this. Jonah, was Jonah a prophet in the Bible? Yes, Jesus even called him a prophet. The Bible calls him a prophet. But did you know that Jonah speaks into a culture? He doesn't tell us anything about the future. But he's a prophet. Doesn't that encourage, it encourages me. Does that encourage you as a believer? God is not saying, tell people their future. Jonah didn't tell anybody their future, but he was a prophet. Think of this. Ezekiel, now, wow. Ezekiel did both. He spoke into a culture, right? And he told about the future. Wow. We're in the days of Ezekiel. And then you think of, this is interesting. Was Elijah a prophet? Oh, yeah. But did you know Elijah never spoke about future events? Elijah. You kind of assumed he did, didn't you? He was such. He's one of Israel's most esteemed prophets, Elijah. In fact, maybe the most esteemed. But he spoke into a culture. Now, this gets exciting for us again. Because all of a sudden, though you and I live in the New Testament era, and there are no prophets as the Old Testament prophet ministry was, there is the gift found in the scripture regarding prophecy, but it's not again telling about the future in the New Testament. It's proclaiming, forth-telling, holding forth the truth. In a way, listen, it's more than a teacher, or different, I should say, and it's different than a pastor teacher. These are gifts recorded in scripture. An evangelist can have the office or the ministry of a New Testament gift called prophet or prophecy, and so can a pastor teacher, for example. How do we know? Because they not only have a teaching ministry, or you think of like Greg Laurie with an evangelistic ministry, but they have an amazing ability at times where the Spirit gives them words that are applicable to the stinging and to the healing of the direction of the culture. It's very interesting, very powerful. And it's valid in Scripture.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called God's Great Commission. Thanks for listening. And like Isaiah, we need to speak to our own generation about knowing God personally by accepting His Son Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. God's Great Commission is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Have you had a chance to go to our website yet, reallifewithjackhibbs.org? Well, if you haven't, then you haven't yet discovered all that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. There are so many resources that you can tap into. Simply start at the Home tab and go from there. Pastor Jack offers videos of past sermons, real life radio in case you missed an episode or you want to hear one again. There are also devotions with a new one every week, our recommended book of the month, special events you can sign up for, Bible prophecy from our Facebook Live events, and a whole lot more. And by the way, did you know that Pastor Jack has a YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? Over 500 videos for you to choose from to guide you through your walk with Christ. And when you have your smartphone or tablet close by, you can download the Real Life app. So all that's happening at Real Life with Jack Hibbs is right there at your fingertips. Once again, head over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can even download the Real Life app from right there, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.